It is Thursday, March 4th. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
Centrist Democrats in the Senate have convinced Joe Biden to limit how many people will qualify for direct $1,400 payments in his pandemic relief bill. But progressive members of Congress are still pushing for expanded eligibility. Meanwhile, a new study shows how hard the nonprofit sector has been hit by the economic fallout of the pandemic. For smaller arts organizations in particular, the news is very bad. Lastly, a hate crime bill has been introduced in the Wyoming legislature. It's one of three or four states that still don't have such a law on the books.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
Here's what's new with the incredible shrinking pandemic relief bill. President Biden has agreed to narrow eligibility for a new round of $1,400 stimulus payments in his $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief bill, this under pressure from moderate Senate Democrats, according to the Washington Post. Biden and the Senate Democratic leaders are scrambling to keep their caucus united since they cannot lose a single Democrat in the 50-50 Senate with Republicans fully united against the legislation. Post reports that under the changes agreed to by Biden and the Senate Democratic leadership, individuals earning $75,000 per year and couples earning $150,000 a year would still receive the full $1,400 per person benefit. However, the benefit would disappear for individuals earning more than $80,000 annually and couples earning more than $160,000. That means singles making between $80,000 and $100,000 and couples earning between $160,000 and $200,000 would be newly excluded from partial benefit under the revised structure Biden agreed to. About 12 million fewer adults and 5 million fewer kids will get stimulus payments under the new Biden-Senate compromise. Centrist Senate Democrats had initially pushed for an even more aggressive restriction on the stimulus payments. This, according to the Post, senior Democratic officials had at one point considered dropping the full benefit for those making more than $50,000 per year, change they ultimately abandoned after backlash led by Senate Finance Chair Ron Wyden of Oregon, Senate Budget Chair Bernie Sanders of Vermont. Presuming the Senate passes the package later this week, still have to go back to the House for final approval. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York said, quote, "I don't understand the political or economic wisdom in allowing Trump to give more people relief checks than a Democratic administration," end quote. AOC, you are not alone there. Here are some of the more stark numbers for you. More than one-third of U.S. nonprofits are in jeopardy of closing within 2 years because of the financial harm inflicted by the pandemic. This according to the Associated Press. That figure comes from a study released yesterday by the philanthropy research group Candid and the Center for Disaster Philanthropy. The study's findings underscore the perils for nonprofits and charities whose financial needs have escalated over the past year, well in excess of the donations that most have received. The researchers analyzed how roughly 300,000 nonprofits would fare under 20 scenarios of varying severity, the AP reports. The worst-case scenario led to the closings of 38% of the nonprofits. Even the scenario seen as more realistic resulted in closures well into double-digit percentages. Among the most vulnerable nonprofits, the study said, are those involved in arts and entertainment, which depend on ticket sales for most of their revenue, cannot significantly reduce their expenses, and don't typically hold much cash. Other studies have concluded that smaller arts and culture groups in particular are at serious risk. Californians for the Arts, for example, surveyed arts and culture nonprofits in the state and found that about 64% had shrunk their workforces. And a report last week from New York State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli found that employment in New York City's arts, entertainment, and recreation sector tumbled 66%. During 2020. The AP says that while arts and entertainment groups may be at particular risk, nonprofits from all sectors are in danger. According to the study, the District of Columbia was expected to lose the most nonprofits per capita, followed by Vermont and North Dakota. We're going to need a bigger relief bill to save this sector of the economy.
Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. And all shipping is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at JustCoffee.coop.
Progress moves slowly, but it is still moving. Wyoming lawmakers on Tuesday introduced a bill aimed at combating hate crimes in the state. This according to CBS News. It is one of three remaining states with no laws against bias-motivated crimes on its books. The move comes after a push by advocates in the state where gay college student Matthew Shepard was killed in 1998. More than two decades later, Wyoming remains without a hate crimes law, even though the 2009 federal anti-hate crime law bears Shepard's name. The Wyoming's tagline is the Equality State, named so for being the first to grant women the right to vote. The state is known to many outsiders for Shepard's brutal murder. Shepard's mother, Judy Shepard, told CBS News that while she was traveling several years ago wearing a Wyoming shirt, she was asked, "Isn't that where the gay kid was murdered?" Pressure has been increasing on lawmakers in Wyoming and the other two states that remain without hate crime legislation, South Carolina and Arkansas, where bills have been introduced. Some advocates also include Indiana on the list of states without hate crime laws, calling a law passed in that state in 2019 problematically broad. Some similar laws in other states mandate enhanced sentences for those convicted of a crime motivated by bias. Wyoming's proposed legislation, however, would not mandate enhanced sentences. CBS reports that the bill will likely be assigned to the Legislature's Judiciary Committee, where a hearing is expected in the coming weeks. This according to Democratic Representative Kathy Connolly, co-sponsor of the bill. Questions remain to be hashed out, including over the scope of incidents that law enforcement should be required to report. Connolly said the introduction of the bill is a big deal, especially for marginalized people in the Equality State.
And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
In his first public remarks since a sexual harassment scandal enveloped his administration, Governor Andrew Cuomo said yesterday that he was embarrassed by his actions and apologized, but said that he would not resign. This according to the New York Times. He also said he has learned, adding, quote, "I will be the better for this experience," end quote. Well then, I guess congratulations are in order. Far-right party Alternative for Deutschland will be spied on by Germany's intelligence agency under suspicion of posing a threat to democracy, The Guardian reports. It is currently the largest opposition party in parliament. The state intel agency is now able by law to monitor the phones of AfD members and spy on its activities as a suspected extreme right-wing organization. Suspected? Surely it's confirmed by now. The Department of Homeland Security and the FBI sent a joint intelligence bulletin to law enforcement agencies late Tuesday, warning that some domestic groups have discussed plans to take control of the U.S. Capitol and remove Democratic lawmakers on or about March 4th today, according to NBC News. Also yesterday, the Capitol Police said it has uncovered a possible plot to breach the Capitol by a militia group. The House canceled its session today out of caution. Supporters of the QAnon conspiracy theory have set this as the date they believe Donald Trump will return to office. Good luck with that, guys. Myanmar security forces dramatically escalated their crackdown on protests against last month's coup, killing at least 34 protesters yesterday in several cities, this according to the AP. That's the highest daily death toll since the February 1st takeover. Videos from yesterday also showed security forces firing slingshots at demonstrators, chasing them down and even brutally beating an ambulance crew. Solidarity with the people of Myanmar.
Quicker! Quickie!
That's all for the AM Quickie. Join us live this afternoon on the Majority Report at noon or later as a podcast. We're going to have a person working for Amazon trying to unionize. We'll also be talking about this COVID relief bill.